Allison Holcomb was a main architect of the state's marijuana law while she was at the Washington State ACLU. Now she's heading the national ACLU campaign to reduce mass incarceration. In the 1990s, America waged war on drugs and got very tough on crime, and soon after that, our prison population began to spike. 20 years later, American prisons are overcrowded and an enormous burden for taxpayers. People of all political persuasions say it's time to turn the tide. Allison Holcomb told Ross Reynolds almost 2.5 million people are behind bars right now in this country.
Incarceration has taken on proportions in the United States of America that are quite shocking. I mean, we have the largest incarcerated population in the world, despite the fact that we're a democracy and that we value individual freedoms. The problem from the perspective of the American Civil Liberties Union is that the overuse of our criminal justice system has resulted in expanding a caste, a second class of citizens that lose their right to vote, that won't be able to get loans to go to school, will probably have difficulty renting an apartment. And that is not healthy for our society, and it's actually compromising our safety. We are creating people that have no options anymore, that come out and have no meaningful opportunity to work.
Why do you figure you could get half of those people out, a million? How did that number come about?
You know, I think the number more than anything was arrived at by reflecting on where the population was in the 1980s. I mean, our prison population has quadrupled in the past four decades.
Break down these million people who you'd like to get out of jail, half the total population. Who are they?
If I had my druthers, the first thing that we would do would be to decriminalize all personal possession of drugs and deal with that as a public health challenge rather than as a crime. There are also offenses that are clogging our local jails and courts, like driving with license suspended. There are just a number of these small misdemeanor offenses that should not be crimes, and we could deal with them in a civil manner. Then we get to property offenses where there's not a question of whether there's malintent. I mean, if somebody steals your property, that's really not okay. But then the question is, well, why is the response to put them in a cage? So essentially, any nonviolent offense, I don't understand why we would put that person in a cage, and I think that those people should come out. And then we get to, you know, the finer grain questions about once we are talking about offenses that we all agree truly are violent, how do we respond to that? What are the options? For example, there are three sentencing features that I think we need to revisit. One is the mandatory minimum sentences. Those need to go. This truth in sentencing notion that you have to serve at least 85% of your sentence, that should go as well. And three strikes you're out should definitely go. So we need to go back and revisit that and think about giving parole options back and incentivizing both corrections officers and people behind bars to get people out sooner. Like, what can they be doing to shorten their sentences?
I'm speaking with Allison Holcomb. She's heading up the ACLU effort to end mass incarceration. Now, how is Washington State doing? You're still based here. How is it doing in terms of incarceration rates compared to other states?
Washington is in a good place. The states where we'll be focusing on with the campaign, at least in these early years, will be in the South. That's where the worst incarceration rates are and also the worst population numbers. There's a story in the South that has a dramatic narrative to it. There are racial justice dimensions to how mass incarceration looks, how it was born in this country, and those are rooted in the South. Louisiana has the worst incarceration rate in the world. Ultimately, I think to have the kind of transformative change that we're talking about, we're going to have to grapple with violent offenses. As a preliminary question, we need to figure out what do we mean when we say violent, because there are, in fact, a lot of crimes that get pushed into the category of violent crime that we might not agree should be violent anymore. But even
like
if you are engaged in a burglary, that could be considered violent, especially if it's a home burglary, residential burglary, because there's a possibility that you might encounter the homeowner and violence might flow from that encounter. And so that can be, in some states, categorized as a violent offense.
Now, some have taken a look at these numbers, a million, letting out a million prisoners, half the total population, and they say you're just going to have to be releasing violent criminals to get to that goal.
it may not be that we're necessarily letting people out all at once, right? I think the first goal that we should be looking at when we're talking about the population is stopping its growth. What are the options that we have for stopping its growth? And then we can start to talk about who within the populations that are incarcerated right now might we let out.
It's one thing to get folks out of jail, but you've also got to keep them out of jail and keep them in society. How does that happen?
These are the conversations that become sometimes challenging when you're sitting down with partners across the political spectrum, because I think most of us appreciate that what science tells us is that having a job is a huge help. Education is a huge help. And these are things where we may need to be making investments. And so when we're talking to the fiscal conservatives that are coming at this problem from the approach of trying to reduce wasteful spending, we have that question that we have to answer in conversation with them of, okay, but can we divert that money or at least part of that money to things that we know will actually help keep people out. There is some concern that what's really going to happen if we approach this from a conservative standpoint is that we'll simply put everybody on electronic home monitoring systems. And so they won't be behind bars, but they'll still be on house arrest or in custody, and they won't be getting any kind of reentry services that will help them succeed. Fortunately, I think within the conservative spectrum, there is a very significant and strong voice that is using moral terms to talk about this and redemption and investing in people and giving people second chances. And so I'm very hopeful that as we're developing policy proposals, those will rise to the surface.
Allison Holcomb is our guest. She's talking about the effort to cut the prison population in half. You're joined in this effort by a group called the Coalition for Public Safety. It's a really interesting coalition. I was surprised to read this a few weeks ago. It's got the ACLU, the Center for American Progress, and then on the right, Grover Norquist, the Tea Party, and the Koch brothers. How did you react when you learned that you're going to be working with Koch Industries on this issue?
It's certainly been a challenging conversation. I mean, there are ACLU members who really want to know what the heck we're doing. But the ACLU's got a long and proud tradition of partnering with people on the issue. Koch, for example, is already investing hundreds of thousands of dollars in indigent defense through the National Association for Criminal Defense Lawyers.
Allison Holcomb, you're best known for legalizing marijuana in Washington State. How are these far-right groups reacting to working with you?
That's a great question. You know, we've only had one meeting so far, the face-to-face meeting, the coalition, in fact, just this past week. And everybody is, I think, a little bit amused that they're sitting in the same room together. You know, and we're already having conversations about, you know, where we think the points of agreement will be. There will be policy proposals that the coalition will be able to advance that the individual organizations might think don't go far enough or aren't exactly what they're focused on, and we'll be free to do that work as well. So we've been mutually respectful, and I think so far nobody's worried that I'm going to pull out a joint and light it up in the middle of a meeting.
How about the overall goal? Do the Koch brothers and the ACLU agree that you can get half of the prison population out of jail, reduce mass incarceration by half?
Well, Van Jones and Newt Gingrich, I should say, have partnered up with the Cut 50 campaign. So Newt is at least comfortable with having that number out there as the brand of the campaign.
So if the ACLU and Grover Norquist and the Koch brothers want to reduce the prison population, who's against it?
That's a great question. You know, some of the people that have traditionally been against criminal justice reforms are those that have a vested interest in the system. So elected prosecutors, elected sheriffs, obviously the private prison companies have a significant interest. And in fact, there are states that have entered into contracts with companies where the states are guaranteeing a minimum number of people in their facilities. And I think when we're making transitions, we ought to think too about people that are going to be concerned about the possibility of losing their jobs. I mean, when we are talking about rural communities where the prison is the number one employer, we need to be thinking about, are we going to do job retraining? How are we going to make sure that people aren't falling through the cracks economically as a result of the bad policies that we've been pursuing for the last four decades?
Allison Holcomb, she heads the national ACLU campaign to cut the U.S. prison population by half. That would mean a million fewer people in U.S. jails and prisons. Holcomb spoke with Ross Reynolds.